The word says we're called to make disciples. We're growing in the word of God. Jesus Christ was sent to be our Savior.
This is the Bromley Town Church podcast. We pray God speaks to you through this message, blessing you as you live out God's word. Stream or download other sermon podcasts via the Bromley Town Church website or by using the SoundCloud app. Head over to bromleytownchurch.com.
This morning we're going to look at something called encountering God, encountering God. But before I say that, I want to remind you about something that I have been preaching about recently, and just to bring it back to our memories. So Matthew 19, verses 23 to 26, let's just read those through. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and they asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." And the same story in Luke's gospel, it actually says, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." And that's the point I want to get across to you. What is impossible with man is possible with God. What is impossible with man is possible with God. Now, we've got to keep that in our minds and our hearts, because what is happening to us is, in a generation where technology is advancing more and more and more and more, and the speed of information and the amount of content of information that we can receive at our fingertips increases, there is a sense in which we consider ourselves to be being empowered more and more. And therefore, there's a tendency for us to think, actually, we can do a huge amount of things. There's a lot we can do. And it's true to say there are skills that you have and there are things that you can do, but there is also an awful lot that is impossible. Trying to get that husband or wife or brother or sister to come to Jesus or even to come to church, sometimes can seem that's impossible. Thinking about a relative who's sick and knowing how they're ever going to be healed or how they're ever going to be changed, there's impossible situations. And there's many, many situations that actually that we face continually in our lives that are completely impossible for us. And you know what? We just need to accept that. But not just accept it, it needs to drive us towards the one for whom all things are possible. That's the point. You see, it's how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And incidentally, that can affect us as well, because to a degree, we're all rich in this nation. I know there's levels of richness, there's levels of wealth, but compared to many other nations, we are rich. How hard it is for rich people, how hard it is for us to actually fully understand the things of the kingdom of God. You know what it's like? It's actually as difficult as putting a camel through a needle, the eye of a needle. That's ridiculously impossible. But you see, what is impossible for man is possible for God. And us receiving understanding, us receiving revelation, us receiving knowledge of God, that is possible because God is God and He is for us. And we can go to Him and we can say, "God, I need help. I can't manage this. This situation is overwhelming me. I don't know how this situation is ever going to be resolved." And I know, looking around this room, there are people in this room who have situations that right now seem completely and utterly impossible. So I'm going to declare to you, it's time to go to God. It's time to go to the one for whom nothing is impossible. And you know, the more that we consider this, the more that we take hold of this, it drives us to the place that God wants us to be in, which is on reliance upon Him and in prayer to Him. Because it's out of that relationship, that fellowship with heaven, that we actually receive the things that we're looking for, or that God can bring changes into our lives. So with that as a background, it's a sense in which we all need to encounter God. And so just to help us, I thought, well, what does it mean to encounter God? What does that look like? And I know it's not going to be the same for every person, but let's look at an experience of somebody who encountered God. What happened in that? How were they changed? What was going on? So I thought, okay, let's look at Isaiah chapter 6. And that is what we're going to look at this morning, because I want to talk briefly about the effect that encountering God had upon the prophet Isaiah. So let me just read Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. It starts like this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." Now, we could ask the question, when did this encounter occur? Because here we are reading in Isaiah chapter 6. Now, that obviously means there's chapters 1 to 5 that have come first. So you think, like, chapters 1 to 5, if you're reading it, you've already read that, and then you get to this point, chapter 6. So it's natural to ask the question, well, exactly when did this occur? Was this the experience that Isaiah had? And because of this experience, he then actually went and served the Lord. So there's like an earth-shattering experience. Here he is, he encounters God, and that changes his life. So now he says, "Okay, here I am, I'll go and serve you." Or was it, as would have seen, i.e. it's chapter 6, not chapter 1, that this actually happened and perhaps he was already going about a ministry and already operating as a prophet of God? I mean, I think that, and that therefore this happened after he had actually begun his time of ministry, which is actually what I think, but there's no certainty about that. But the only thing I would say is I don't think anybody, he's come from a background of discovering God, of knowing God, of growing up with the knowledge of God and receiving more of God. That has happened with him. So whatever, there's been a growth experience of God before he has reached this place. That is my own personal belief about it. But anyway, let's look at this encounter, and we're going to look at it under three very quick points this morning. Firstly, what did Isaiah see? What did Isaiah see? Well, he saw God. He saw God. In the passage he says, "I saw the Lord." I saw the Lord. So he encountered God. This is what, suddenly, he is seeing God. And he identifies the time on which this took place. Not the exact date, but he says, it is the same year that King Uzziah died. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. There's something that had marked that event in his memory, and that was also the year that King Uzziah died. And so therefore, for the rest of his life, he always went back to that point. There was a point in which I encountered God. When was it? Oh, it was in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, that doesn't sound much to us, but if you think about it, or if you knew, and I'm about to tell you, King Uzziah had been on the throne for 52 years. So there was a sense in which there had been this long period of time when this monarch had been reigning. And therefore, it was actually quite an event when he finally passed away. Just the same for us as far as Queen Elizabeth is concerned. There she was on the throne for 70 years, and then she passed away in September of 2022. And suddenly things have changed. Now, if I say that, we can comprehend in our minds, oh yeah, we know that event. That's something that we have lived through. That's something that we've experienced. And we recognize that was literally the end of an era. And so this was the end of an era as far as Isaiah was concerned, and it stuck in his mind. So that's how he could reference it in time to come. But for him, what did he see? He saw the Lord, and it changed his life. He saw the Lord, he saw God, but also he saw his throne. The scene of this vision, And I don't know whether it was an actual vision or whether in a sense he was taken to the temple or he was in the temple and he saw some of these things in the temple. But wherever in the vision, the scene that he saw was in the temple. And it was there that he sees God, and he doesn't just see God, but he sees God on his throne. It says that he is high and lifted up, highly exalted. God's throne and his position of being highly exalted shows God's authority. So not only did he see God, but he understood that God had authority. He was high and lifted up, and he was seated on his throne. And it says that the train of his robe filled the temple. And it's that a robe and the length of a robe is to signify majesty, glory. This person is glorious. This person carries majesty. This person has authority and carries a majesty with it. And the only thing I can think of like that, again, is a royal picture of one of the royal weddings where the princess comes down and she has a long train behind her, which is there are various page boys or bridesmaids who are helping her get that or lift it up because of its weight. And that is to signify this person is mega important. This person is wealthy. This person has majesty. This person deserves honor. And here we're seeing, and the train of his robe, it wasn't just short, it filled the temple. Isaiah saw God. Isaiah saw God on his throne, and he understood his authority, and he understood his majesty. His glory was being captivated by him. And he also saw seraphim. Seraphim are spiritual beings. Well, they need to be, because they've got six wings, and apart from some insects, and I don't even know much about insects, whether any insect has got six wings, I don't think they have, but these have got six wings, and two of them, they're covering their faces, two of them, they're covering their feet, and two of them, they're using to fly around with. So it's all a bit weird, but they're spiritual beings, okay? And what we understand is that these seraphim, and we're not quite sure how they didn't bump into each other because they've got their eyes, whatever. But they're crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." It's like these seraphim are almost saying, like, don't look at us. Because you could say, like, wow, I've never seen a seraphim before. I've never seen one. Has anybody here seen one? No hands have gone up. No. We haven't seen seraphim. We've read about them. But if you're suddenly to see them, you think like, wow, this is a spiritual being. What is all this about? And you might be captivated. But here, these seraphim, it's almost like they're saying, hey, don't look at us. We're not important. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. If you're going to look at anybody, look at him who is seated on the throne. Look at him who is carrying all authority. Look at him who is full of majesty and glory. Look at him. That was the scene that Isaiah saw. Second point, what did Isaiah understand? Well, in this vision, I think this is what he understood. He understood that God is holy. And he said, okay, is that it? Because there is a sense in which when we say that, God is holy, we would say, well, yeah, we know that because we've read it. But you see, this is exactly the point I want to try to get across. It's not just that we know that God is holy. Right now, Isaiah knew that God was completely holy. To be holy means he had no sin. There's no sin. There's no corruption. God never does anything wrong, and there is no sin to be found in him at all. He is completely other. He is completely holy and righteous. And Isaiah wasn't just encountering the word or even our understanding of the word. Isaiah was encountering the holiness of God for himself. Because what happens when we see the holiness of God, we suddenly see what we are like in relationship to that holiness. And that's really the thing. It's not just like, oh, God is holy. Yes, I know that. It's like this encounter, God is holy. Oh my goodness, what am I like? Because he saw himself for what he really, truly was. And that's why he cries out, woe, woe is me. He says, I am a man of unclean lips. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, as in, like, had he been saying things that he shouldn't have said? But it isn't to say, look, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips. It's not just me. The society that I live in is corrupt. I am corrupt in the light of the presence of this God who is holy. I'm now understanding exactly what my thought patterns, what my words, what my behavior, how I act, how my people act, those around me, I now understand exactly what we are like before God. Oh, woe is me. Woe is me. It's a sense in which Isaiah at this point, I'm done for. I'm finished. Because he saw God. Because he saw God. You see, he came into what I describe as a new understanding of the truth. We have truth, and we know truth. We read truth because the Bible is true. So we're reading truth, but there comes a point in which it's not just what you've read or maybe just what you've understood. There's something about it that now you have seen and experienced. Whoa, that's a whole new dimension. I was trying to think of an example of this, and the only thing I can think of is that we know what poverty, or if I say poverty, you understand what you've seen on TV and things like that. You have an understanding of poverty. And I can remember that, yeah, I had an understanding of poverty. But when I first went to China and I saw people and their homes were what I thought were the places where they were keeping bicycles, bike sheds. And yet as I walked past them thinking like, oh, this is where they keep their bicycles. This is where they keep, you know, this is their outdoor house. And I heard people sleeping on the other side of the wall. And I realized, no, this is where somebody's living. And I can remember at that moment thinking like, boy, this is poverty. And I've seen it in Uganda where you go to villages and you're welcomed into somebody's house and the floor is mud. That's the floor. And that's poverty. And it's the only thing I can think of in that I had a vision, I had an understanding. Poverty is like this. But when you see it, there's a whole new understanding that comes to it. And that's what happened with Isaiah. There's a sense in which, like, God's holy, God's righteous. We know that. We know that we're sinners, but, you know, he's good to us and all that. But suddenly Isaiah is now seeing God for who he is. And he sees himself for who he is. And there's a new understanding of truth. Because we have truth. The truth is God is holy. So there was truth there, but now this truth has, it's like it's gone from two-dimensional to three-dimensional. It suddenly has a greater depth and understanding about it. And that is what struck Isaiah. So what did he understand? Isaiah understood the truth about his life. And he understood the truth about what God was like. This is my third point. What did Isaiah offer? We know that this encounter caused Isaiah to understand the reality of God. That he really is the one who is over all things. That he is truly and utterly holy and righteous. And it seems interesting to me that when this seraphim came and touched his mouth with that live coal, suddenly everything changed. So Isaiah was saying, woe is me. I'm undone. What can I do? And yet one of these spiritual beings goes to the altar of God, takes a live coal, and then comes with it in his hand, and he touches Isaiah's lips, and he says, your guilt is taken away. Your sin is atoned for. And suddenly there's a transformation. Interestingly enough, that transformation enables, it would seem, Isaiah to hear what God is saying. Now, whether that means he couldn't hear beforehand or couldn't understand, but something had happened in that encounter that now enabled him to hear, because God was saying, who shall we send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah hears this. He's hearing that God is saying this. And Isaiah's immediate response is like, I'll go. Well, here I am. You can send me. Whatever it is you want, I'm ready to work for you. The encounter had completely transformed this man. And what did Isaiah offer? He offered himself completely and utterly to the work of God. He said, here am I. Send me. Send me. Again, just going back to that situation where the seraphim comes with the live coal, he comes and says, your guilt has been taken away. There's no Oh, no, it's okay. You didn't really do too much wrong. That's all right. There's an acknowledgement, your guilt. You were guilty. That which you have seen upon yourself, that which you have suddenly understood about yourself, as far as God is concerned, it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. So let's not try and hide it. He comes and he says, your guilt has been taken away. Your sin has been atoned for. Now you're clean before God. Now you're ready to work before God. And hence he can then go on to say, as soon as he hears God asking, who will go for us? Hey, it's like he's the one. His hand goes up first. Me, pick me. I'm the one. I'm prepared to go for you. That's what he did. So Isaiah offered himself. Encountering God brought a deeper, truer understanding of truth, the reality of truth, of who God was to Isaiah. Folks, that is what we need. That's what I need. It's what we need. We need a true perspective of God. We need a deeper understanding of him so that we ourselves can be transformed. There is a sense in which we can say, well, that's just for Isaiah. That's what he needed, because he needed to go and prophesy to Israel, and he had a work for God to do. And so therefore, this encounter actually should, it's just for Isaiah. How can we possibly say we would need encounters with God like that ourselves? But you see, we do need encounters. Because Isaiah was in his generation, and he was doing a work for God in his generation. In fact, if we just read, and I'm just going to read at the beginning of Isaiah to show some of the things that he was facing and some of the things that the generation were going through then. Isaiah chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. Hear me, you heavens. Listen, earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its master, and the donkey its owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Now that was the message that Isaiah brought to the children of Israel all those years ago, thousands of years ago. And yet when I read that, I think like, well, let's look at our generation. Our generation right now, they were created by God, so they're his children. And yet it's just like God's saying like, but I created these people. But it's like, they're like animals that don't even know where they're supposed to go to eat. They don't know where their home is. They don't know me. There's no response of them to me. They're a group of people who are a sinful nation. Their guilt is great. They're given over to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Is that a picture of the generation in which we live? Yes, it is. I don't think any one of us would say that we haven't noticed the increase of wickedness in our society, the growth of evil in our society. Now, maybe you're very young and you've noticed a little bit, but I certainly say the older you get and therefore you've lived more years, you notice the rate of change that there is. The point I'm making is, look, our society is not really any different from the time of Isaiah. If Isaiah needed an encounter with God that enabled him to say, God, whatever it takes, here I am, then I would say we as a people need encounters with God. And he said, well, how are we going to go about that? How could we have this? I don't know how these things happen. I know that these things can suddenly break in, and I believe that this was something that suddenly broke into Isaiah's life. I don't know whether he was walking down the street or he was planning on going to the temple or quite where he was in Jerusalem when this happened, but suddenly there was a moment. It was actually in the year that King Isaiah died that he saw the Lord. And he saw him on his throne, and he was high and lifted up. And there were these spiritual beings around. And wow, and I understood the majesty and the authority of God in a new way. And I suddenly saw who I was in the light of this God. And suddenly I was struck with, this is actually what I am like. I don't know whether he could say, I was living as a Christian, but I didn't really understand the things of God. I was living for the purposes of God, but I didn't really understand what it is for him to bring his kingdom in and for me to see his kingdom come in. But certainly I can look at my generation and say, do they need the Lord? Yes, they need the Lord. And how I can hear God saying, hey, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And suddenly Isaiah said, well, having seen you, Lord, for who you are, you need to send me. If ever there was a generation where we as a people need encounters with God so that we also can be those who would say, God, I'm the first one. I'll get me. I want to be first in line. It's now. We need encounters with God. That's impossible for us. Ah, but you see, the things that are impossible for man, they are possible for God. What it takes is for us to return to the Lord and to seek the Lord. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains his righteousness upon us. That's what it says in Hosea. It's time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains his righteousness upon us. Folks, I want every one of us to start burning with a desire that says, I need encounters with you, Lord. I've lived my life like this, but I need to live further. However, I've got a couple more minutes. I will read another scripture to you, just a bit further on in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1, but verses 13 to 17. This is what Isaiah was preaching to the people of his generation. He was saying, stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, convocations. I cannot bear your worthless assemblies. Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals, I hate with all my being. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayer, I hide my eyes from you. Even when you offer many prayers, I am not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless, please the case of the widow. God was speaking again into the generation. He was saying, here's a generation, you know what? Some of these people, they were going to the temple. When do they go to the temple? Oh, Christmas, Easter, holidays, convocations, new moons, festivals, all those important religious things. Hey, I'm there. This happens in this nation. People go to church at Christmas. People come to church at Easter. Because it's the right thing to do. We know that. Folks, what I'm saying is, listen, it's time for us to see a transformation. We just don't want to have people here at Christmas or Easter. Obviously, we welcome them and want them to hear about Jesus. But I think you understand the point I'm getting. We can become a religious people. God has no time for religion. God is looking for relationship with a people. And God, who is for us, not against us, he wants us to have encounters with him. It is time for us to seek the Lord for encounters that only he can bring. What is impossible for us is possible for God. And therefore, we need to turn to him in prayer. Say, Lord, here am I. Come and visit us. Father, we cry out to you as a people. Lord, we have a generation around us that, Father, do not know you. And in our hearts, Lord, we don't burn with passion to see that changed. Father, we're content with our lives. We want to live our lives the best way. We want to live our lives for you. But, Lord, we recognize there's things that are missing, that are not part of us because we don't fully understand. And, Father, our heart, therefore, is to cry to you to say, Lord, save us. Save us, rescue us. Lord, give us encounters with yourself, just like Isaiah had, that we may grasp hold of the truth, the reality, the full three-dimensional understanding of who you are and what you are able to do, that we may be captivated by you, that we may understand that you truly are the Almighty One, that you truly are full of majesty and glory, and that your ability and might and your enabling is there for us. So, Father, please, give us encounters, Lord. Father, for you are not respecter of persons in the fact that we have to be in the faith for so many years and have done so many different things. Lord, we need you because you have called us. You, Father, we didn't choose you, but you chose us. And you have appointed us to be fruit bearers. Therefore, we're asking of you, Lord, please help us to understand the calling that is upon our lives and help us to fulfill that calling so that your name may be glorified and that our nation may be transformed. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bromley Town Church. You are always welcome to visit us on a Sunday morning or join us again for more messages here online. You can also stay connected with us at www.bromleytownchurch.com.